Hello and welcome to this episode of The Rest is Entertainment with me, Marina Hyde.
And me, Richard Osman. Good day to you all. Good day, Marina.
Good day to you. Good day. How formal this is.
Good day to thee.
If there's a methinks in this podcast, I'm pulling the plug. That's it. It's one of the worst.
Methinks is so useful because if anyone ever says it on social media, you know you can immediately block them.
Yeah. Block and report.
Block and report.
Yes. What are we going to be talking about this week?
A number of things. We are going to be talking about Sky and ITV, who may be merging.
Well, Sky's going to buy ITV, maybe.
Yes. I mean, that's what I mean by merging. It's like I merged with Ingrid when we married. Whereas really...
Well, I believe you... Yes.
We all know I was bought out by a much more impressive company.
We will talk about this entire deal via the prism of your marriage to Ingrid.
Amazing.
And what it all means.
What it all means. We are going to talk about... speaking of Sky, they launched a TikTok channel specifically designed for women. How long did it last?
For women's sports.
For women's sports.
It was born on a Thursday, Richard, and they read the last rites to it on a Sunday.
We will discuss
why. So that's quite fun.
And we're also going to talk, well, we're going to talk about I'm a Celebrity. We're going to talk about celeb booking.
I'm a Celebrity started last night. It's the 25th series of the ITV jungle-based format.
Seems like more.
Well, yes. I mean, it's quite interesting. Anyway, so I suppose that's quite relevant to what we're saying is I think more than 300 people have now gone into the jungle. If you're one of the people, and we're going to talk about booking a talent show, because this has come obviously right after Celebrity Traitors, which is not everyone's favourite act to follow, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's tough.
But booking these reality shows and how you do it,
it's quite interesting. The mix that you need.
The mix that you need. And as I say, when more than 300 people in the entertainment industry, sort of front-facing, have gone into the jungle, the pool is relatively small, and it's quite interesting how you do it.
But so, it is relatively small. So, for example, before we talk about someone who we believe was about to go in and now is not, let's talk about the people who are there. So when we talk about the gene pool around these shows, so Martin Kemp is there, always happy to see on my screens.
Yes. Now, what you're doing with that booking is he is a well-known, he's very well-known face via all sorts of different things. You want a slightly older man. You've got to have one of those in the camp.
Your dad knows who he is.
Great, because his son, Roman Kemp, has already done the format about five or six years ago.
I'll do the merry-go-round for you. So Martin Kemp has been on Celebrity Big Brother. He's been on Celebrity Gogglebox with Roman Kemp.
Yeah.
He's been on 71 Degrees North, which was ITV's trip to the Arctic with celebrities. He's done 8 Go Rallying with his wife, Shirley, which is a show that Noel Edmonds was also on. He has done Masked Singer with Shirley as well. Roman, his son, as you say, has already done I'm a Celebrity. Roman is currently on Celebrity Race Across the World. Someone else who was on Celebrity Race Across the World was Kelly Brook. Kelly Brook is now in I'm a Celebrity. Kelly Brook has also done Bake Off. She's done Masked Dancer and she's done Strictly. Who else has done Strictly in this current I'm a Celebrity lineup? Well, Eddie Caddy has done Strictly. Lisa Riley has done Strictly. And Alex Scott has done Strictly. Alex Scott also won Bear Grylls' Mission Survive, which is ITV's show that's probably closest to I'm a Celebrity. She won that. There were only two series, and the other series was won.
You don't have to get baptised, I don't think, to be on I'm a Celebrity.
Exactly.
I'm joking. You don't. I'm sure you don't with Bear Grylls. It's not mandatory.
And the only other person to win Bear Grylls' Mission Survive was Vogue Williams, who's also in I'm a Celebrity. So there are a lot of people who've been around a lot, and that's before we get to Ruby Wax, who's done Fame Academy, Only Fools and Horses, which was Endemol's very short-lived celebrity show jumping show, Celebrity Apprentice, and MasterChef. So
I'm so sorry. Could you just take me back to Only Fools and Horses?
Only Fools on Horses.
Yeah. But actually...
Yeah. They were jumping over really, really small...
That's not... The height of the jumps actually isn't my primary preoccupation with the show concept.
Yeah.
But amazing. Okay.
I'm trying to remember who else is on that. It was quite something.
They're very much hoping you forget. But
it didn't really
I will be exhuming
the
full passenger
Sarah
manifest.
Sarah Ferguson was involved with it.
That's cheating.
Or perhaps we were going to do an American one and she was involved with that or something.
It's really interesting. Back in the old days, if you did any of the sort of three big celebrity reality formats, I'm a Celebrity, Strictly, or Celebrity Big Brother, you couldn't do any of the others kind of thing. It was like, oh no, they've already done one. Now, as we've seen from so many different things, particularly in the US, where 100% reality TV is a career and people just do all the different formats, you know, Jack Osbourne on the first episode turned out to be quite good at cooking and no one else could cook, of I'm a Celebrity, that aired on Sunday night. And he said, just want to say that, you know, I came second on Cooking with the Stars or something like that.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like, and by the way, Tom Reed Wilson, who's about to go in as well, he won. He was second on Britain's Best Home Cook. They've all been around. Two newcomers. They got, as we talked an awful lot about reality shows, making sure that you get that younger generation on. They got H, the rapper, and they have got Angry Ginge.
Yeah.
Who actually came across rather well, I thought.
Very well. So I was surprised to see him up for the trial. Blood.
No, because he's got a huge fan base.
So you all think of whom, they just voted because it'd be funny and they want to see him do
every
it?
Every single other streamer.
I don't think that's why they voted for Ruby Wax.
Let's talk about Ruby Wax because that is a good booking.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
booking. Because from second one, you think, oh, Gwen, this is... Because the first half of the people they brought in yesterday, you're thinking, oh, this is okay. It's a little bit identical, a little bit pleased with itself. And then in the second half, you think, oh, great, because Ruby Wax comes in and absolutely...
She'll sing for her supper or lack of supper and she'll repeatedly and deliberately misunderstand that. We're like, why am I doing this? Why is this happening to me?
Exactly.
Of course she understands the format.
So I was talking to lots of celeb bookers and they you know, they said, you know, the whole thing is a pantomime and you do need, you know, you need your big names. You need those names that people who don't really understand telly think are amazing bookings. Like, you know, you get Jerry Hall on Strictly or you get Noel or Nigel Farage. Well, I'm a celeb, where people go, oh, okay, it's a big name. But actually those people tend to fall away and it's the Joe Marlers of this world.
Everybody says that you need the sort of marmalade droppers for show one.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, the group dynamics kind of take over and you discover it's either a show about, either it's a particularly conflict heavy series or it's one about comradeship or whatever. And actually the bookings the people who are on much lower money, you know, I think the lowest paid ever was Georgia Toffolo from Made in Chelsea, who won it. Sam Thompson won it. He won't have got Made in Chelsea. They're cheap bookings, sorry to say. And Jill Scott, you know, again, so people sort of fall in love with the salaries in The Sun. And I was like, I know those are wrong.
Yeah.
They were completely wrong.
There's some people on huge amounts of money. But
a lot of people will do it for 20 and less.
Yes.
20K and less.
You're either doing it for 20K or you're doing it for a million.
No one's doing it for a million this time.
This time, I think people have done. In that lineup, there's no one where you go, oh my God, they've got who now? And a couple of years ago, Anton Deck said, we are not having any more politicians on this show. After Farage, they said, you know what? This is not what we want to do.
Well, because let's remind ourselves who they had much longer ago, actually. They had Nadine Dorries, but that was under Cameron.
Keisha Dugdale.
One big marmalade dropper was Matt Hancock, him going into it.
That was a good one. Surely.
And then Farage. And they said... and I think ITV said, right, you know, no more politicians, but, you know...
Then a name will come along. For example,
someone will come out and they're pulling you back in.
And this year, my understanding is Ed Davey was offered to them. They said, no, listen, we've said no politicians. Although, you know...
Well, I think Ed Davey's people have got sort of... Yes. He's got a team of people who think of stunts that it might be helpful for Ed Davey to do. And I think they thought if you give it to charity... But I tell you,
There was another name that came along that I think ITV found impossible to say no to.
Well, it would have been impossible to say no to Angela Rayner going on it. Now... she got really quite far in and her people in talks to do this. And I mean, what a moment for her. I mean, if you thought last week was chaotic for Labour, try and imagine this week if Angela Rayner was now basically running a proxy leadership campaign.
On ITV,
by the medium of eating kangaroo testicles on ITV prime time. I mean,
take that, Wes Streeting.
Yeah.
So Angela Rayner, I think everyone knows who Angela Rayner is, the former deputy leader of the Labour Party, now no longer. And the Labour Party seemed to be undergoing some sort of possible, you know, season four of Succession. And she would be in line for that. So she's a very, very, very significant current political figure.
Obviously, she wants to return to frontline politics. That's very clear. And in fact, having always said, I'd never want to be leader, she's now stopped even denying that. And I think, were she to do this, you are leaving during parliamentary time. I mean, again, it'd be fun seeing the fallout of the budget next week while she's eating, you know, emu anus.
Yeah, which, by the way, we'll all be doing after the budget next week.
So she obviously wishes to return to frontline politics. And there is a line that politicians can say about doing the show, even though you're leaving parliamentary, you know, time. And you could say, I don't think we're reaching ordinary people. We've got to go to where the people are. And this is what they all say, which is, I will just go where the eyeballs are. I will go and try and reach out because whatever it is. By the way, she would have been an absolutely terrific booking for
the
show.
That's the thing we talked to just now about, you know, your Jerry Halls and people like that, which are sort of, you know, like a one-week wonder. Someone like Angela Rayner, you would get all of the publicity up front. and she would be a great booking as well. She would be a great booking.
But I think what happened is that obviously she does wish to return to frontline politics. It was made clear that were she to do something like this, there wouldn't be a way back. By the way, I don't think the people who would have made that clear are in a position to say who does or doesn't have a way back. Anyway, we've seen their briefing operations, so we'll have to wait and see. But yes, sadly, that booking did not occur.
But this lineup makes more sense when you realise that I think ITV felt that maybe this was going to happen.
Well, I think they felt it got very far. There are always people who pull out at genuinely like big bookings, and they're often the ones they spent a lot of money. I remember there was Boris Becker a couple of years, maybe just after he got out, I can't remember his prison sentences.
That's not like him to pull out.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, this is outrageous this morning. Yeah.
Is that your new catchphrase?
Yeah, no, it's not. I'm trying it out and it didn't work. But yes, Colleen was obviously Colleen Rooney was a huge booking, and they paid $1.5 million. She's the highest paid ever. You've always got those people you might put in that you would pay a lot for. By the way, I'm not saying that Angela Rayner was one of those people.
No, that
would be terrible to take that sort of, you know.
Agreed.
And I think
if she were going to do it, it would be for the profile and
give it to charity. I don't know what you do.
Yes, absolutely.
Hancock didn't give it to charity, obviously.
Yeah, got paid $320,000, gave reports suggest 3% of that to charity.
The nature of this particular format is interesting because on something like Celebrity Traitors, it's really, I'm not saying it's easy to book for, because it's nothing is easy to book for. It's very, very difficult to book these shows. But you don't have to talk about your personal life. You're constantly talking about the game. It's prestige.
Yes, you're there for a reason.
There's no privations. You get food. But as you say, more and more people are getting into this or just seeing it as a career. So you're so used to just telling your stories and being that kind of anecdotalist.
Yes. And so, you know, the real kind of what you really want as a celeb booker, again, spoke to people who book lots of the big shows. You do want someone who has not been on a show before, but is going to be great. That's what you want.
Yeah.
But though, you know, they are few and far between these days. Angela Rayner definitely would have been one of those people. Where you can do it is with people who are earlier in their careers, like Angry Ginge. This rise of YouTubers and Twitchers and streamers and all this is incredible, because they come with a very, very big fan base already, but they have not done these shows before. So they are new to most of your linear TV audience. So Angry Ginge is a new booking to a lot of people, but he brings a lot of people with him. So that's sort of a perfect thing as well. So yeah, and celeb bookers, you know, there's sort of two types. There's the celeb bookers who are friends with every single celebrity in the world. And there are the celeb bookers who you sort of want, who are the people who just know all of the agents and who can pick up the phone to everybody. And, you know, I've done shows before with celeb bookers, and they know every single thing about every single person who's going on that show. They know who's going to threaten to walk. Who's going to be difficult. They know who's going to come good in week three when, you know, they've got a little bit more confidence. They get all of that stuff. And as you say, when someone drops out at the last minute, I mean, it's like suddenly seeing a superhero, because you go, oh my God, we've lost two of our main cast, and the celeb bookers go into overdrive. And like the next day, they deliver you.
Should say that there are people who are going on I'm a Celebrity who are not in there yet.
Well, Vogue Williams and Tom Reed Wilson didn't go in on the first day. And also will both be amazing. Tom Reed Wilson is a great, great, great booking, because lots of people don't know him, but everyone is going to fall in love with him.
And may well be the most inexpensive person in that lineup.
Yeah.
I would guess.
I mean, he is someone from that lineup who you would stick straight into Celebrity Traitors.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you say, you know, it's been on 20 odd years. And when it started, it felt, you know, the idea that it was stripped across the week was this extraordinary event, and it made it feel unmissable. And
same
now,
as Big Brother.
Just 20 years later, it makes it feel missable. I have to say, there's a great team behind it. I do think there's some great bookings there. Anton Deck are as amazing as ever, and their writer Andy Milligan is as amazing as ever. So it's still a treat coming up to Christmas. Those last minute dropouts, and weirdly on Strictly this year, you know, Danny Dyer, literally at the last minute dropping out. And she would have made a big difference, I think, to
She was injured rather
Strictly.
Than pull out at the
last
minute.
Yeah, exactly. This lineup makes more sense if there were an Angela Rayner type figure in there.
Also some other quite big bookings as well. Just sort of like a big celebrity. But, you know, people just do at the last minute kind of get cold feet. And then some people are just professional reality people. Now, I think it might be time for us to go to a break.
Oh, listen. Welcome back, everybody. Marina, there's a huge story right at the heart of British TV at the moment. A possible joining of forces of two of the major players.
Very, very big news in the UK broadcast landscape and even beyond, which is that Sky, who by the way sponsor this show, are looking to buy ITV for $2 billion at the moment, around about $2 billion it's being quoted as.
So ITV Studios are the people who make the television programs and can sell them around the world. ITV is essentially, it's the channels.
Yeah, it's the broadcast network, bit of it. It's the free-to-air public service broadcaster, ITV, that's five channels, and the streamer ITVX.
Yeah, it's a place that makes all its money from advertising, essentially, whereas ITV Studios, as much as one can.
So Sky are owned by Comcast, although Comcast don't particularly talk about Sky because Sky was bought for about $39 billion, I think it was, and they've seen quite a lot of that written down in recent years. But anyway, the UK Sky is being empowered to go for ITV. In terms of why, basically, both these businesses are in trouble and they will be helped by the scale of being together.
And they're both in trouble, by the way, just because...
Trouble for different reasons.
Yes, exactly.
Sky is too small in pay TV, basically, and ITV is too small in advertising. So if you go to scale and you can share lots of costs... I mean, Sky's got various things. It's got... but it's a platform.
Yeah.
And it sells boxes and it sells bundling deals. They don't make huge amounts of TV. They've hung on to those kind of people who pay for Sky Sports and have it via the box and all of that sort of stuff. And that is an extremely expensive, you know, that's a sort of real luxury
very
consumer. But in terms of sort of content and services that they have, lots of things are going. Like all at the moment, they have Now TV, which is their streaming service. But lots of things on Now, all the HBO stuff is going because Max is going to start in the UK. We'll come to that in a minute of like what all these things are doing. So Sky needs its own content, really, as a subscription service. In terms of ITV, we are in a declining advertising business. This previously would not have been able to happen. There's no way that the government would have allowed this to happen.
Well, they have turned it down before, haven't they? There were thoughts about this many years ago, and they said, no, you would control too much of the British advertising market between the two of you. So
ITV has looked
you.
For different people lots of times, but actually I think it always comes back to Sky, and I think that is probably the best fit for them. Don't forget, it doesn't mean they don't still have public service broadcasting obligations. That license will carry on till 2034.
And by the way, ITV1 will still be there, and ITV2 and ITVX. So it doesn't affect that particularly.
It would be a mashup of ITV and Sky's stuff, I think. I think you would combine Now TV, which is their streaming service, as I say, with ITVX. So you'd have the Sky tech, which is slightly better. But then you would use ITV's free content to upsell like a subscription tier. There is a pay tier on ITVX. Okay. So Sky would still be a platform, but they would have a much better service of their own, and they would give prominence that service. Prominence is like, it sounds so boring, but it's one of the biggest issues in UK TV.
What is why M&S will always rent a shop on the high street rather than a street two things down. I mean, you go where people are.
You go where people are. Okay, so it will, and then they'll become a much bigger force in ad sales. I think they probably wouldn't be as big as some people say they are, but they would be like half the ad market. Then you're thinking, okay, this seems like if this happened, this would be a huge remaking of UK's broadcast landscape, and it wouldn't be the end of it, because then you're going to say, okay, the other parts of the market, they're going to need protection. So if you're Paramount and Five, UK TV, Channel 4, you're probably going to need to gang up together to say, well, we need to have a way of competing with them on ad sales. It makes sense at the moment for everyone to try and aggregate content, because you've got bigger players who might be able to compete with American streamers.
This is the thing that's happened, by the way, isn't it? Is for many years, people weren't really allowed to merge because in our market, it would mean there was a player that was too big.
Yeah.
However, because of the Netflixes and what have you, and more importantly,
and the desperate straits of half the stuff.
Because of YouTube, and because, you know, this argument that you can't control too much of the advertising take in British entertainment, I mean, that's not on linear TV anymore.
I mean, it's
somewhere completely different. So actually, linear TV is going to have to join together in order to have scale, in order to be able to sell advertising in a way that it's online
competitors. I saw some reports last week when we were talking about this, and they were saying, oh, they control 70% of the ad market. It's like, wake up. No, they don't.
I mean, they control 70% or 15%.
But then you've got to think, okay, the big story is, maybe the BBC would say, well, in all these negotiations with government, well, okay, if that's going to happen, then you have to let us merge with Channel 4 and you have to say, public service broadcasters have to be given more prominence, like mandatory prominence. So what you could say is there has to be an iPlayer button on remote controls sold in our country. I mean, I know prominence is so weird. It's like, because you'll see on your remote controls, like, oh, Netflix. I can press Netflix and press YouTube. Sorry, why can't I? If you allow certain things like this to happen, in order for the market to be fair or to give value to people who kind of pay into these things, you might want to say, we have to have say BBC and Channel 4 merge as one option. So you'd have to say, we want prominence in that sense. Anyway, in terms of jobs, that is a significant thing and what people are thinking, because if two operations merge, ITV, I think, is quite lean. It's certainly probably leaner in some ways than Sky, and compared to any American operation, obviously doesn't even compare. In general, these are very difficult times, but people need scale. Even Comcast, they want an extra US, an outside of the US operation. And I think it's quite interesting, this thing, how it fits into the whole wider picture of what's going on. We knew that there was going to have to be masses of M&A, merger and acquisition activity in entertainment. And actually, you know, a lot of those guys, a lot of the big studio bosses, a lot of the big media companies, they voted Trump, really, because they wanted to be allowed for this to happen.
Yeah.
But this has absolutely exploded in the past few weeks. So you've got Larry Ellison, or his son, you know, Kendall Ellison, David, real name, buying Paramount. But no sooner was the ink dry on that than they're saying, we want to buy Warner's. And Warner's are now saying, well, okay, we are up for sale. And everyone's thought the Ellisons will get it. Now we discover that Comcast are also looking at Warner's seriously. And actually, amazingly, so are Netflix. And I mean, I know there's one absolutely mega, mega big power broker and kingmaker who thinks actually maybe Netflix will get Warner's, because at a certain point, Sarandos is going to say, I don't want to see this. I don't want to keep this. I don't want to keep it happening.
I don't want my rivals to get too much bigger.
Well, there's enough for three big things at the top to be in the top three. Netflix is at the top. Okay, we can argue about YouTube, but in terms of these kind of more traditional, certain sort of services, you've got Netflix, Disney, and there's space for a third. Now, maybe that's like Paramount Warner's. Maybe it's something to do with Comcast. Maybe everyone has got bits of these businesses that they want to fit into their things, in the same way that with ITV, people thought, oh, well, hang on. In the UK, other players thought, well, we could buy this and we could slot it into our broadband services. Everyone is trying to get bits of these businesses because there is a big prize. To be number three in that is kind of everyone's prize. But then you also think, well, maybe the Ellisons won't get it. But equally, what if the Ellisons get TikTok in the US, which, remember, Trump said it has to be hived off from the kind of Chinese mothership. And he's talked very favorably about the Ellisons to that. Now, if they had Paramount and Warner's and TikTok in the US, then you've got a completely different type of company.
Yeah.
And then they would be number three for definite. And they maybe could go further. Maybe they're quickly bigger than Disney. It's hard to say. But there are so many different people now, predators, just like walking around trying to get bits and fit it together with their business. And we're going to see much more of this.
Just to try and be big enough.
Everyone is trying to solve various puzzles, and they've all got different missing pieces, but everyone wants bigger scale because you can't do anything without scale. So if I had to put some money on it, I would say that the Sky and ITV deal will go through, which, as you say, never would have occurred before, never, because the government will think it will have to.
And at some point, BBC and Channel 4 has to happen. I know that one publicly is going to say that or ask for it or anything like that, but it just has to, because it doesn't make any sense at all. Channel 4 doesn't make any sense.
You're watching it happen now in real time, really, really quickly. People are saying, and also, you know, ITV, I know there's resistance to all of this, but ITV might be worth half what it is in just a year's time.
Yeah.
And there's just a sense that they have to go for all these different things. We don't know what Warner's coming to the UK, Max is going to launch in the UK, and you're kind of thinking, oh, what they have? Well, hang on a second. TNT Sports at the moment is a joint venture between BT and Warner's, but BT have said they might all their...
There's so many. This is so complicated.
It's ridiculous, but they might give their... If they give their sport to Warner's, and then they've got all of the HBO stuff, and by the way, that includes the new Harry Potter things, the full, you know... they're trying to build, Warner's is trying to build up in the UK. So everyone is trying to do these different things. But this kind of teaming activity is making things and dominoes fall very, very quickly in a way that they would just never have been able to in the past. Just think of it as everyone trying to do a land grab to try and solve their puzzles. Lots more things will happen, but I think this particular thing will happen and it will change broadcasting, the broadcasting landscape as we know it in the UK for definite.
Yeah, I would say 5 years' time, BBC and Channel 4 are the same thing streaming-wise. ITV and Now TV are the same thing streaming-wise. And there's a sort of HBO Max is out there with lots of other things.
It's a possibility, that bit.
And then Disney, Apple and Amazon still have their, because they have other businesses, you know, bigger than broadcasting.
Yeah.
They're able just to have their streamers as a lovely little add-on.
All the maps are being redrawn. I think it's fair to that. And you just keep watching because it's happening very, very quickly. Moving on to something else Sky related, Halo, which was Sky Sports's,
Halo goodbye.
Hello, goodbye. Sky Sports' TikTok channel for young female fans.
Sports fans.
Yeah, sports fans. Described as the Lil Sis of Sky Sports. Launched on Thursday, their head of social said, "I couldn't be prouder and more excited about this launch. Proud because this has been driven by the women on our team and embraced and supported by all across the business." Put out of its misery on Sunday, "We've listened. We didn't get it right. As a result, we're stopping all activity on this account.
I'm still proud.
We're learning.
Don't
and we remain as committed as ever to creating spaces where fans feel included and inspired." Now, what the hell happened?
I mean, anatomy of a fall.
Anatomy of a fall. It was a, they crucially said, it's quite interesting, it's not a women's sports account, but sports content through a female lens. That means it's tapping into trends and content types, which frankly wouldn't pop up on my FYP, and applying to all sports.
So an FYP is the For You page.
Yeah. What did that mission statement actually translate as? As I said, we only had it for 3 days. We knew it so little, but it had, there was a lot of content about Barbies, Labubus, matcha, pink and peach branding and lettering, heart emojis.
What is this matcha thing, by the way? I keep reading about, they kept mentioning matcha. And
it's literally like some word they're vaguely aware is trending on the internet for various, it's like a sort of, you know what matcha is.
I know what matcha is.
Yeah,
I just don't know why
particularly.
I don't know when it became gendered.
Yes. And
I'd have called it match of the day.
Match of the day would have been amazing. Yeah. But we just can't. It's dead to us now. It has had an absolute deluge of opprobrium from people, women saying this is so patronising. How can you? I mean, it was kind of mad. There was a moment where a woman, said, "I can't believe you think this is what female sports fans like." And the official Halo account said, "Can't believe you bought that energy."
Wow.
Okay. Really embarrassing. It's really interesting. So in terms of the matcha thing and how they would integrate such a concept in, they had a clip from the Man City Bournemouth game a couple of weeks ago, where Rayan Cherki did those incredible two assists for Haaland. And the way they explained that clip was how the matcha and hot girl walk combo hits. It's like, what is this internet word salad? I'm aware that you've... How the matcha and hot girl walk combo hits.
How the matcha and hot girl walk combo hits. So Rayan Cherki is the matcha. Erling Haaland there is the
maybe,
hot
or is
girl
it just
walk.
Like...
What's a hot girl walk?
Hot girl walk is like, it's like some sort of aspirational, like go and walk and think about your goals kind of meme.
Okay, which is what Erling Haaland does a lot.
I mean, okay, I am a chick. I watched that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Breaking. And this is bizarre. Like, this is not at all how I reacted to that, to either of those moments. It was, it was a great fun game. I was like, anyone normal reacted and thought, Chelsea could have bought him 2 years ago. But no, we would have had to sell 37 of the other not very good players that we would have had for Daphne on the books at that time in that position. But let's not get sidetracked. I can't get into sidetracked by that now. But they thought this is a way that you must talk about sports. So I think.
I remember when Josh King's goal against Chelsea went in and was disallowed. I thought about that literally. Every single Fulham account is all hot girl walk related.
It's all hot girl walk.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
No one was like, this is one of the great injustices in world football.
And world history.
World history, I would say.
Yeah.
I was like, hot girl walk. I was like pastel hearts.
When
like,
you don't get the labubu, or when you've already got the labubu when you open the blind box. Yeah.
I said, I think I tweeted, can't believe Vara bringing this energy.
So, okay, we'll never now know what slightly dated cultural references they had to us. Someone would have been having a brat winter. There would, you know, they would have had to wait for a certain score line, maybe to get the 6-7 meme in there. I don't know, but it would have been.
Oh, they definitely would have.
They would have got 6-7 in without any question.
The second it goes to like 3-all or something, it goes, God, this is going to end up 6-7. Easy. I mean, easy. The second there's two early goals.
Okay. Can I just say that all Lil Sis content is annoying?
Yeah. There are people
who do this quite well, where you're able to have a central brand and then you kind of spin it off into something different. Fashion and beauty can do this.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the most remorseless female targeted industries ever. They've got basically centuries of experience of how to do this. This wasn't it.
Yeah.
It's so dramatic that they then pulled it and that they did it this badly. And I think we're always fascinated when things like this go this wrong, because it reminded me a little bit about the, which I know we talked about on the podcast when it happened, the Jaguar advert do you remember? That was basically this time last year when Jaguar had a new advert with no cars in it. What they did have, I think, was sort of eight diverse non-binary models who came up in an elevator onto a pink planet, and you did watch it and think, oh my God, this is in-house as well. How did this happen? And the answer is, I suppose, you know, it was probably conceived of at the high watermark of a certain type of culture. 6-9 months later, when it finally aired, it was 3 weeks after Donald Trump's victory or something. There had been a distinct vibe shift. And it was like, oh, what is this? This is so bad. And I guess, is that what happened with Halo? I mean, I don't understand. Women were apparently involved in the making of this.
It all comes down to that fundamental misconception. Because, I mean, essentially, it was a football account, really. And the thing about football is nobody is watching football differently to anybody else. There is nobody of any age or any gender who is watching football differently to every single other person who's watching football. We all watch it in exactly the same way. It is not gendered. And the only way, you know, female football fan is another way of saying it, which is football fan.
Yeah.
I mean,
could a woman do it? I mean, I've got to say, I don't love the Lionesses. I don't love this girl can, which I think is sporting.
You love the Lionesses. You don't like.
Oh, I love the Lionesses, but I can't say the word Lionesses. I can't say it in conversation. I would say England.
Yeah.
And I don't love this girl can, which I'm sure maybe it's, you know, it's that Sport England's initiative of getting women taking exercise again. I hate the title. Maybe it's really successful as an initiative. I do think that when people say inclusive, you know, even though, like, what's inclusive about a car that costs upwards of 100 grand? I mean, you're being ridiculous. I remember actually when Nigel Farage, they debanked him, Coutts, and they said, we're really committed to inclusivity. It's like, you need £3 million to open a current account. I'm so sorry. Sometimes maybe it works, this kind of a level of that. What you see more and more of, I know you're saying that no one watches football in different ways. Fine, I get that. But you're seeing a lot more of this kind of omni-channel branding. Give you an example. They've got Mail Plus, which is their sort of paid tier on and one of the things you can get on that is you can get a showbiz newsletter that's sort of written almost like a Substack, and it's called The Spotlight, and it's written in this absolutely extraordinarily non-male way, where it's like, when you're Adele, you don't need the grid, the math simply refused to math, all these kind of like, you know, they're talking like bits of the internet, and what they're linking to is stories that are written in the classic male online style, not like this. I don't know whether that's working, and I don't know whether it's getting lots of subscribers and drawing people into the website simply because it's written in a different way and driving people towards their content. That's clearly what Halo was trying to do, which is to talk about it in a way that they, you know, like, although I fundamentally believe they misunderstood Hun culture.
They misunderstood?
Oh yeah, I did my degree in it.
Hun culture,
yeah. Like, it's a, you know...
This is not the rest of history.
Amazing. Hun culture. I mean, I also did my degree in that. It was a combined course, the two types of Hun culture. But they're trying to drive you towards their traditional content in the same way that Sky is trying to, you know, drive you towards their sport content, but do it in a different way. I think consumerism has become much more complex, and just saying, oh, we're just going to go after little sis, you know, young women, we're going to go, I don't think that's really how these things hit
it
anymore.
It sounds like no one was trying to be mean. They were trying to be funny. But it's just, but
there's no malice.
It's an idea out of time.
But it's,
right?
But also it's excruciating, because I actually think that the reason the pushback is so big is because we're sort of constantly thinking that the man, and I do use the term advisedly in this particular case, is trying to sell us something. And when they do it badly, like they do it with a Jaguar ad or like this, it's like the backlash is so extreme, because most of the time you're too weak and feeble to resist. You're just being like overcome by a constant influencing sales pitch. But when it doesn't work, all of the energy gets concentrated into tearing this thing down. And the backlash was like absolutely mega, to the point where they just said, we've got this completely wrong.
Do you know what? I bet there were 3 days is fine, because people will forget about it. So anyone who's been working on it, it's okay.
I think they had miles and miles of that kind of synthetic sass that they could deliver to audiences, but audiences did not want what they were serving. I don't talk like them for a minute.
What a packed show we had today.
What a packed show.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Any recommendations?
I am absolutely loving the, there's a book called 1929 by Andrew Ross Sorkin, which is about the stock market crash of 1929. He writes things so brilliantly. He writes it like a page turner, and it's absolutely fascinating. And I know there's all this sort of like, when you read these books, like the now of it, but actually it's just an extraordinary story. And I recommend that.
So 1929 by Andrew Ross Sorkin. Yeah. And I saw the last show of the first half of Nick Mohammed's tour, Show Pony, where he as Mr. Swallow. If you only know Nick from Ted Lasso or from Celebrity Traitors, he's had this character, Mr. Swallow, that he's done for years and years and years. This tour is brilliant. This show is so brilliant. All of his shows have been brilliant. It's right in my wheelhouse. If you like very, very clever and very, very stupid all at the same time, then
is it still going? Is it coming back? You
it
told
is
me
coming
something
back,
about this.
It's coming back next year. So he's touring lots of places and touring much bigger venues as well. So there will be tickets available. I know tickets for these things are expensive, but this is one of those things. It's a proper treat.
I'm
so,
definitely
it's
going
a
to
really,
that.
Really great show. So it's Nick Mohammed as Mr. Swallow in Show Pony.
Right.
I loved it.
We will be back on Thursday with an interview with Kate Phillips, who is BBC Chief Content Officer.
So she literally probably has more impact on what you see on television than anybody else in Britain. And it's a Q&A, so you've already sent us lots and lots of questions. So thank you for that. We'll be putting those questions.
Television, radio, everything.
Everything. We'll be putting those questions to Kate on Thursday. I'm very much looking forward to that. We'll be talking about traitors. I'm going to talk about political stuff as well, but we'll be talking about, you know.
Yeah, I've heard they're in the news a bit at the moment.
Yeah,
so we'll
a little
probably
bit.
Be talking about that. And also for our members, we have the third and final part of our series on
MTV.
Story of MTV. Now you can join for ad-free listening, special bonus episodes, all the rest of it at therestisentertainment.com. Otherwise, we'll see you on Thursday.
See you on Thursday, everyone.